Amen. Amen. Yes, we do not know what the next few months, several months, will look like. But one thing we do know is that Jesus will still be there. Thank you for that beautiful message in song. You know, it's been said that being teachable is one of the most important life skills. And this morning, as we begin with our continue with our service, I'd like for you to turn to your neighbor to your left. Would you do that right now? Turn to your neighbor to your left and say, "Hi, neighbor. Do you have a teachable spirit?" Now turn to your neighbor to your right and say, "I pray I do." So now let's prepare to open the scriptures and discover what a teachable spirit looks like, asking God to speak to us through his word. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, wherever we are in our journey with you, we're so thankful that you receive us with arms wide open here today. We're welcomed by your grace and by your love. And we pray, Lord, that as we seek to ask the question, "Do I have a teachable spirit?" I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would make himself known to us, be welcomed into our hearts, that we might receive a word from you today that will transform us. And we thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. During his 3.5 years of public ministry, Jesus was acknowledged as a mighty healer. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record only 37 miracles performed by Jesus. Yet these accounts, no doubt, represent only a small number of the countless miracles that Jesus would have performed during his lifetime. In fact, the very last verse of the Gospel of John explains, John chapter 21, verse 25, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did," yes, including miracles, "which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. But as we recognize Jesus as a healer, let's not overlook his role and his identity as a teacher. Jesus, one could even argue, was more of a teacher than even a healer. For Jesus often found himself speaking to multitudes, speaking to individuals one-on-one. Jesus was a teacher. He was a teacher. Whether he was in the cities or in the villages, by the seaside, in the synagogue or the temple, there he was, teaching to multitudes of various sizes, to teaching individuals. In fact, the Greek text calls Jesus teacher 45 times. 45 times in the Gospels, in the Gospel account, 45 times. But this is the question I want to ask us, though. A question I believe is legit. We need to really ask ourselves a very critical question. And that is this: how much do do I recognize Jesus as a teacher today? Oh, yes. We know Jesus and we need Jesus as a healer. And how often have we asked Jesus to heal us? And by the grace of God and for His glory, Jesus still performs miracles today. Can you say amen to that? Jesus is still the miracle-working God today. But as surely as He was and is a healer, church, He was and is a teacher. A teacher. And to a greater degree now, through the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And because He is still a teacher, I might even add a yet even more pressing question. If He is still a teacher, the question must be asked, am I spiritually teachable? Are you spiritually teachable? And I've come to this conclusion that it is a fatal mistake for Christians to cease being spiritually teachable. Fatal mistake. For in that very moment, they deny the teacher whom they claim to follow. And so this morning, as we consider this very intimate, very personal question, am I spiritually teachable? We're going to take a look at three characteristics of a teachable spirit. Three, easy to retain in our memory. We're going to observe these three conditions in the context of two stories. We're going to see these three conditions as they were absorbed or followed by, or rather refused, in the life of a young leader and demonstrated in the life of a few uneducated fishermen. And so for our first case study, come with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. So take your Bibles, come with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, for those viewing from home, welcome you to grab your Bibles. We're going to be in our Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Whether it's the Bible you handle or a device, let's both go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And our story will take us to verse 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. So in the onset, I'm going to introduce to you the first of three characteristics of being spiritually teachable, having a teachable spirit. The first characteristic is deny self. Deny self. For one to be spiritually teachable, one must put out of their own hearts what your own hearts want to do. In other words, one must deny self. Let's start with verse 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Here we find the story of a rich young ruler who eagerly came running to Jesus. No doubt he was looking for the master. He was looking for Jesus. Finally locates him, and he runs to him as quickly as his feet can carry him. Why? Because he has a pressing question that he must ask this good teacher. Verse 18, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What's interesting is that we already identify what's in his heart, what's in his mind, what he's thinking. He had in his own heart the desire to possess immortality. Something that any mortal would want. He wanted to possess immortality, to live forever. What else do we know about this man? Well, we do know that he was young and rich. The Gospels identify those characteristics. And being young and rich, we can only come to a few conclusions. They're not explicitly stated in the text, but we can fairly conclude, and that's this, that it's likely possible that the rich young man received an inheritance from his father or a family member. For one to be young and rich, that would be one of the likely ways of how he became rich. Second, to receive an inheritance, he may have won the favor of the one who wrote the will. No doubt, if this was an inheritance, he was in good standing with the one who wrote the will. He had won his favor. He had received an inheritance that was rightly his. In light of this, could it be that in the mind of the rich young ruler, the deeper question to how can I inherit eternal life, the deeper question would be, what must I perform to win the favor of God and thus be worthy of inheriting immortality? Eventually, or rather evidently, he was an educated man. What kind of man, everyone? Educated man. For he's known as a ruler. In fact, some translations say teacher. He was a teacher himself. An educated man. Well, just like Nicodemus. Nicodemus bore that same title, so he was educated. He had another characteristic that we can conclude is that he had all the proper manners. He was a man of culture. A man of what? Of culture. Why do we know that? Because he addresses Jesus as a good teacher. He has proper manners. What else do we know about this man? He was self-disciplined. He knew how to exercise his will. Exercise what? His will. For he kept all these things since his youth. He said that himself. So he knew how to exercise his will. And he knew something about human effort. Human effort. How do we know that? Because he asked the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So notice the response of Jesus, verses 20 and 21. You know the commandments, young man. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. All these things. But something was missing. Something was missing. I find some very interesting insights written in her classic book, Steps to Christ, by author Ellen G. White, prolific writer in the 19th century, who wrote these words. Notice carefully. She wrote, education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere, but here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of water. There must be a power working from within, a new life from above. That power is Christ. That power is Christ. In other words, a teachable spirit learns to yield to a superior authority. which is not I, but Christ. A teachable spirit recognizes that there are marching orders to be given, to be received by one who is of a higher power than I, one who is not I, but Christ. A teachable spirit learns the necessity of dependence, not upon myself, but in Christ. A teachable spirit does not need more about my own wants and desires, but more about Jesus, more about Jesus. A teachable spirit admits, don't leave me alone. I can't do this myself. Without Jesus, I can't learn anything. I came across a story that the Los Angeles Times once reported some years ago, but it was so fitting to this illustration. A screaming woman was trapped in a car, dangling from a freeway transition road there in East LA, and she was rescued Saturday morning. The woman apparently fell asleep behind the wheel. The car, which plunged through a guardrail, was left dangling by its left rear wheel. There's about half a dozen passing motorists who stopped and grabbed some rope from one of their vehicles and tied the rope to the back of the woman's car and hung on until the fire units arrived. One of the rescuers made this comment. Every time we would move the car, she'd yell and scream. No doubt she was in pain. It took almost 2.5 hours for the officers, 2 truck drivers, and firefighters, about 25 in all, to secure the car and pull the woman to safety. It was kind of funny, LA County Fire Captain Ross Marshall recalled later. He said, all she kept saying was, leave me alone. I'll do it myself. Have mercy. You know, church, to be unteachable is to be unreachable. So to be reachable, one must be teachable. And I must deny self, who claims to have what it takes, that claims to have it all, that claims to have enough wisdom and strength and ability and talent to take care of it all. We must come to the point when we come and say, Lord Jesus, not I, but you, Lord Jesus. I must deny self so that Christ can reach my heart and teach me his ways, so that our prayer would be, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Second, to be teachable, one must take time to listen to God. One must take time to listen to God. The word of God is the voice of God. Listening to God through the writings of Scripture. Back to our story in Luke chapter 18. Notice what Jesus answered, when Jesus answered his question, the rich young ruler replied, all these things, verse 21, all these things I have kept from my youth. You know, he was not listening to every word that proceeded from the mouth of Jesus. How do I know that? If he had been listening, he would have realized that Jesus, when referring to the Ten Commandments, only mentions 5 of the last 6 relating to our loving relationship with our neighbor. The first 4 being our loving relationship with God himself. Because if he was listening, you would have noticed that Jesus mentions the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. He mentioned the sixth commandment, do not murder. He mentions the seventh, do not commit adultery. He mentions the eighth commandment, do not steal. He mentions the ninth commandment, do not bear false witness. And if the rich young ruler had been listening carefully, he would have noticed that Jesus does not mention the tenth commandment, which is, do not covet. Instead, Jesus goes on to correctly diagnose the problem with this sin-sick soul and even prescribes a cure. You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. In other words, you will be cured from covetousness, which is greed for treasure on earth. You see, before I can be teachable, I must take time to listen to that still small voice and to become familiar with that voice. How do we know that voice when we hear that voice? We know that voice because we hear it often. We forget that voice when we don't. And how do we hear that voice often? Through the writings of Scripture. Spending time in the Word of God. It's a two-way conversation. It's taking time to read the Bible when I pray to start my day. But Pastor, it takes time. I only have time to pray. It takes time, Pastor. Precisely. Precisely. It takes time. It takes time to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn at the school of our Master. It takes time. It takes time. And before I can be teachable, I must take time to listen. Nicky Gumbel, in the book Questions of Life, compares it to a visit to the doctor. Notice what she writes. Suppose I go to the doctor and I say, Doctor, I have a number of problems, doctor. I have a problem of fungus growing underneath my toenails. It's kind of sick, but I have my eyes itch. I have a flu jab. I have a very bad backache. I have tennis elbow. Then, having gone through that list of complaints, aches and pains, I look at my watch and I say, oh my, I gotta go. Time is getting on. Well, I must be on my way. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, doctor. The doctor might want to say, ma'am, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Why don't you listen to me as I bring relief to your pain? If whenever we pray, we only speak to God and don't take time to listen to God, we make the same mistake. Church, to be unteachable is to be unreachable. So to be reachable, I must be teachable. I must listen to God so He can reach my heart and teach me in His ways. Oh, that our prayer would be, have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. We must listen to God, and He will direct our path. Third, to listen to Christ or to be teachable, not only must we deny self, not only must we listen to God, we must also follow Jesus. At the end of verse 22 in Luke chapter 18, verse 22, Jesus said, come and follow me. But in verse 23, The young man's response is, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Interesting. He initially came running with joyful expectation. How can I possess immortality? But the life that is not teachable always ends in extreme sadness. Regardless of wealth, regardless of riches. Now, on the other hand, if he had denied self, not what his own heart desired and what his own heart wanted, if he had listened carefully, if he would have listened to every word that proceeded from the mouth of Jesus, he would have been compelled to immediately follow Jesus. One last thought. You know, following Jesus is totally voluntary. Jesus extended the invitation. You see, he doesn't coerce men and women. He doesn't force them against their will. He doesn't bribe them with a home in the sky and a careless life, or carefree, rather, life. He merely invites them to come. Come, follow me. Come. The teacher demands one thing, though. He insists on having first place because there's so much he wants to teach us. And it's a matter of life or eternal death. All that we can know about who God is through revelation from God. Whether it's through Scripture, whether it's through nature, whether it's through godly men and women in our life that God uses to speak through. All that we know about God is through revelation. There's no other way. No other way. No other way. And we have a choice to make. You know, he told his disciples that there's many things I want to tell you. There's many things I want to share with you. In John chapter 16, verse 12, he told them, there's many things I want to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. There's so much that the teacher wants to reveal to us. He wants to place before us so that we may know. That's the way he operates. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. As did a group of men in Mark chapter 1. Would you come now with me to Mark chapter 1? We're going to now take a look at our second case study. A group of men, unlike the rich young ruler, they were uneducated. They were men that dedicated their life to fishing. You've heard the saying, once a fisherman, always a fisherman. And remember, the first characteristic of being spiritually teachable is that one must deny self. And for these men, fishing was an obsession. More than that, it was their livelihood. This is what they devoted their lives to. This was not just a hobby. This was it. This was their livelihood. It was what their father did, what their grandfather likely did, what several generations did, like father, like son. But notice Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. It tells us that as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Simon and Andrew left their nets. Verse 20, and immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. James and John, in this second instance, left their father. They left it all. To be teachable, one must deny self. These men left it all. Their security, their identity, their livelihood, their obsession, their passion. They left it all. Remember, to be teachable, one must also listen. And in verse 17, Mark chapter 1, verse 17, when Jesus confronts them, he has words to speak. And he said to them, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Listen to every word of Jesus' invitation. What Jesus said was not just random words or an invitation out of the blue to just, hey, why don't you just follow me? Drop everything you have and just follow me. No, it was a lot more than that. And the disciples were listening to Jesus. They heard every word. When Jesus said, I will, and they listened to those words, I will, they recognized that as a promise. A promise that was as sure as the rise of the morning sun. I will. This man has made a promise. I will make you. Make you. He is saying, I will equip you. And it's a commitment, and I'm keeping it. I will make you become. He is saying, I will empower you. I will transform you. You will become. You cannot on your own become apart from Christ. There's things, there's determination, there's education. We read that earlier. There's all these things that have their proper place. But you cannot become what God wants to transform you into. And they were listening. They were listening. Become fishers of men. Oh, they knew fishers being fishers of fish. But fishers of men, when they heard those words and they were listening, they heard Jesus say, I am calling you to a higher purpose. A higher purpose. Their minds wrapped around these words that Jesus spoke. Every word that he spoke captivated them to the core. And as they listened, they were eventually compelled to follow this man named Jesus. Because remember, to be teachable, one must follow Christ. Some years later, these uneducated fishermen were standing before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the most intimidating group of educated men the Jews of that time could have ever recognized. And Acts simply records in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that when they saw, the Sanhedrin saw the boldness of Peter and John, former fishermen, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. They marveled. That means that they were just speechless. They could not believe what they were hearing. How could it be? How could it be? They realized that they had been with Jesus. They followed Jesus for so long that they became like him. And one can only become like Jesus when they follow him. And one will only follow Jesus when you listen to what he has to say. And you will only listen to what he has to say and apply when you deny self. You know, I am thankful to God for education, for Adventist Christian education. What a precious gift and opportunity that we have as parents. Our young people are taught in an environment that teaches them to deny self and lift up Jesus. Our young people are taught how to listen to Jesus and follow His leading. Our young people are taught to follow Jesus. And that is why Christian education is so vital. And this is why having a spiritual, teachable spirit is absolutely necessary for the Christian today. Why? Because a teachable spirit will cause you to welcome Jesus. When self is put off, a teachable spirit will cause you to listen to Jesus. When you open His Word and listen to His voice, a teachable spirit will cause you to follow Jesus, to follow in His steps. As a good shepherd that leads his flock, as a good teacher that leads his students. How many of us today want to say, Lord Jesus, teacher, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord Jesus, when I seek you and take time to listen to your voice, make me willing to be willing to discipline myself, to take time with you in the Scriptures. Lord Jesus, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. For me, in my house, we will serve the Lord and allow Him to have His own way. How about you? Is that is your prayer? Is that is your commitment? Is that is your decision right here? Not only as individuals, for sure, but also as a family unit. As a family, here today. As individuals, how many of you want to say together with me, have thine own way, Lord? If that is your prayer, would you stand right now before our great teacher? We are in his classroom, as it were. Do you desire for the great teacher to have his own way in your life? Amen. If you're watching from home, this is your moment of decision as well, your moment of commitment. So we stand together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the teacher. We, your students. Thank you for the mind that you created us with. Thank you for giving us the liberty and the ability to reason, to think for ourselves, and to make a choice. And on behalf of every student who is here today together with me, I pray, Holy Spirit, that as you have your own way in us, that you would give us hearts that would be willing to deny self. Tune our ears, Lord, to discern that still small voice, and give us discipline to set aside time to sit at your feet, open the Scriptures, and listen as you speak. And Lord, give us the courage and the willingness. Replace fear with confidence and certainty to follow you every step of the way, trusting you knowing that you will lead us down the path that leads to eternal life. May we not respond like that rich young ruler, but rather, Lord Jesus, may we follow in the steps of the disciples, if only because they followed in your steps. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.